Okay, great. So welcome back, everybody, for After Pesach. So we have 2 weeks left. So this week, because Yom HaTzmaut is coming up, we're going to focus on the state of Israel. I don't want to focus so much on the political aspect in terms of the importance of sovereignty, of having a Jewish state. More of like a from the nationalistic perspective, at least at the beginning, how important is it to live in a country of Jews? Let's phrase the question that way. Less how important is it, not how important is it for Jews to have sovereignty over a country, political sovereignty, i.e. in mitzvahs Yishuv Aretz according to the Ramban, might be a mitzvah d'oraisa for Jews to govern themselves in Israel. But let's say you have a country where everybody's Jewish, which happens to be Israel, what value is there in living in that country? So hopefully that'll become clear as the sources go on. So it's mostly from Rav Kook, because he's the one who had the most to say about this. So the first piece is Eretz Yisrael Vav Zayin. This is a fairly well-known piece from Rav Kook. Somebody, when I was in Gush, somebody told me that the key line from this piece was actually embroidered on the wall in back of the Aron Kodesh in his yeshiva high school. So I think I've seen bumper stickers with this piece also. But here we go. Eretz Yisrael Vav Zayin. Because Eina Medina Ha'osher Ha'elyon Shel Adam. So a nation state, a country, is not the highest level of happiness for a person. Qualification. So Nitan Le'amer B'Medina Regila Sheino Olah La'Erach Yoter Gadol Mechavrat Achrayut Gedola. This is said about a regular country. It doesn't exceed the value of a large insurance company. Basically, you have problems, the government is there to protect you. There are marauding band of bandits, the government's there to protect you. You pay taxes to the government gives you money when you need. But in a regular country, Shnisharu Hamani Ha'idiyot Shein Ataret Chayim Shal Noshiyot Rechvim Mima'ala V'Inam Nogimba. But all the high ideals that actually are the crown of life of humanity aren't actually embodied by the country, aren't embodied by the nation state. They float on top of it. Mash'in kein medina shi bisoda idealit. This is not true by a nation state, but in its foundation is ideal. Shechokuk ba v'yatzah tochen ideali yoter alyon shu b'met ha'usher yoter gadol shal yachid. But if you're living in a nation state that embodied by the country, etched into the foundations of that country, are all the great ideals of humanity. So then, in living in a state, living out all those ideals in an individual and a nationalistic level, that is Osher Achiyat Yoter Gadol Shel Adam. That is the highest level of happiness that a man or human being could have. And which country is this? This living in this country really is the highest level of happiness for a person. This country is our country, Medinat Yisrael, the foundation of Hashem's throne in the world. That the entire aspiration of this country is that Hashem's name should be one. That living in a country that embodies this, and therefore having this trickle down into your individual life, really is the highest level of happiness for a person. It's true, it's going to be hard to explain to people in the days of darkness what exactly this means. It doesn't mean that it's going to stop from being the highest level of happiness for a person. So, point of case. When was this piece written? Rav Kook died in 1935. This piece was written sometime before that. He's not referring to the actual contemporary state of Israel with the words Medinat Yisrael, but that's the way it's sort of appropriated in contemporary religious Zionist thought, or contemporary religious Zionist thought, but in popular culture. That guy who told me that this was embroidered on the back of the Aron Kodesh in his yeshiva said, Medinat Yisrael Yisod Kisei Hashem Ba'olam. When kids in high school read that, obviously that's referring for them to the state of Israel, at least with the potential of what the state of Israel could have. So how would a Soloveitchikian relate to this passage? So we don't know how Rav Soloveitchik himself related to this passage, but Rav Lichtenstein tells us one time somebody read him this passage without telling him who the author was, and this was his reaction. This is in the last essay of Bayez Light. I think it's called The Cheshbon Nefesh for Centrist Orthodoxy. He's talking about Zionism as a barometer for one of the defining characteristics of a centrist Orthodox community. He says, my Zionism is not the Zionism that I'm familiar with from being in Israel. He's like, I have the distinct pleasure of being too much of a Zionist from the American perspective and too little of a Zionist from the Israeli perspective. So when he's describing the latter, he tells the story. He says, I was traveling not long ago with a member of Knesset who is identified with Gush Emunim. If I recall correctly, somebody told me that the story took place with Effie Eitam, who was a Merkaz Rav Val Tshuva, major general in the army and later on a Knesset member.
Gush
Emunim. Gush Emunim is the was the political party that pushed the settler movement. It was started by Rav Tzvi Yehuda was the official rav of Gush Emunim. People like Hanan Peret, who fought in the Six-Day War and then started the first Yishuvim, were part of Gush Emunim. So he read a sentence to me, the general tenor of which was that the ultimate happiness of man is somehow the attainment of the state. He asked what I thought of the sentence. I answered, I think it's terrible. We began discussing this further, and he let me in on the secret. This is a sentence from the latter part of Rav Kook's Orot. So the way that, no, Rav Kook probably wouldn't have said it was terrible if he knew it was from Rav Kook. He probably would have used a slightly more tame formulation. But on its own, Rav Kook thought it was terrible. Why would Rav Kook think this is terrible? Because if you're Rav Soloveitchik, as we've seen over the course of the year, is very focused on the individual person and his or her role in Avodas Hashem. His books describe individual people, halachic man, lonely man of faith. His books are about tefillah. How does the individual person daven? It's very experiential. It's I think Dr. Schatz calls it religious phenomenology, describing religious life from the inside out. How do I, as a religious person, live out my Judaism? And he's describing his experiences from different vantage points. Lonely man of faith, halachic man, tefillah, mourning, whatever it is. But the basic subject of Rav Soloveitchik's philosophy is the individual Jew. He has theories about Knesset Israel. He writes about the nation, about Am Yisrael as a whole, but that's not the focus of his philosophy. The focus is almost always the individual person. Rav Kook is the opposite. Rav Kook has a lot to say about the individual person, but very frequently is contextualized as saying, yes, you're a unique person, you have your own Avodas Hashem, but it has to be done in the framework of a country in order for the full vision of what the Torah wants to be fulfilled. And this piece is a classic example. For Rav Kook, if you're living in a nation state that embodies all of the divine ideals, that's going to be the highest happiness of a person. For Wittgenstein, for Soloveitchik, you're living in a nation state is now never going to be the be-all and end-all factor in terms of one's relationship with Hashem. So what I want to do is just try to build up from the bottom up some of the assumptions that go into this Rav Kook piece. Why does Rav Kook think that living in a state with Jews is the highest happiness of man? And where does this nationalistic perspective come from? So again, you can't know always on Rav Kook's sources, but at least these are going to be some pieces that become the building blocks for a statement like that. The living in Medinat Yisrael is the highest happiness of a person. So the first thing to know about Rav Kook is that he had a very nationalistic perspective on life in general, not just Am Yisrael. For Rav Kook, every nation, like the Midrashim say, has a certain malach that guides it, embodies a certain divine ideal. So Rav Kook says this in Olatria and in Siddur. Is part of a longer piece. He says, "Amdam kol amim yishal kol echon miyem matzirah tudat hametzterefet b'tur miksoam yuchad in etzrach l'tikon olam." Every nation has a certain individual character trait or goal that is a specific discipline, miksoam yuchad, and this specific value is necessary for tikon olam, for the perfection of the entire world. Shekol imam shekol imam mitzyachedet ba apiy tikonata gizav apiy deoteha v'kach hastari yishala. Every nation, based on its nature, based on its history, based on its race, embodies a certain divine ideal. Umancheled zlamin hanoshi kulo etz kinyon el pratiim kfi ma shehi ma'arakas otam biyakas atzma, etc., etc. And then it's supposed to give that quality to the rest of humanity. So again, this was common thinking in the 1800s. There's a certain spirit of each nation. I think the idea originated in Germany with this spirit of the German nation, which ended up evolving or devolving into Nazism. But this idea that each nation has a certain character to it, I mean, this is anti-globalism, what we're experiencing today, has its roots in Western philosophy and also has its roots in Midrashim and Kabbalah. Each nation embodies a certain ideal. What does this mean? Just a very, very simple example. I don't know if this is true or not, but people say in Japan, the people are very into honor and obedience. It's an honor and shame society. Being obedient to somebody who has higher authority to you is going to be an ideal. In America, it's not so much so. In America, we like the values of self-autonomy, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Is there anything that happened in Japan that couldn't happen in America? Is there anything that happened in America that couldn't happen in Japan? Because each nation embodies or exudes a different type of character trait. But what Rav Kook says about each nation is there to embody, to characterize, to bring forth from potential to actuality a certain specific type of character. If that's true about each nation, What's the role of Am Yisrael? So let's look in Orat Machama Aleph Zayin. It's the piece is not talking about something else, but he says something important about Am Yisrael's role vis-a-vis the other nations. He says, "Kol ha'amim mitzpatzkem, all nations develop. And nations develop and actualize their potential is based on natural growth. What accelerates the process of each nation focusing on its own values, on its own culture, on its own way of life? Wars. Wars often create a large sense of patriotism. People feel more American when there's a war going on. People feel more French when France is at war. Rav Kook wrote this piece during World War I. Some of his pieces during World War I are like, the world's going crazy, we have to start fresh. Some of his pieces during World War I are, let's try to find some positive value in war and see where we could go from there. So this is one of the latter pieces, that there is some positive value in war. Again, each nation has a value, has a character, which gets more fully expressed in times of war. Yisraelu aspaklayar kolisha kol olam. What is Am Yisrael? It is the general lens of all the other nations. Am Yisrael is supposed to take all of these individual character traits of all the other nations and find the perfect balance with all of them, and therefore embody the more ideal divine vision, which harmonizes all these other values into a single vision. So Am Yisrael, Rav Kook says this is one of the purposes of Galus. Am Yisrael is to be scattered to the four corners of the world. So you have a Jewish community in America, a Jewish community in Japan, I don't know if there is one, a Jewish community in France, a Jewish community in Iraq. You're supposed to take certain parts of those cultures, because each of those cultures is different. Each of those cultures represents a certain divine ideal. In the end of time, they all go back to Eretz Yisrael, Kibbutz Galios, and you're supposed to take the best aspects of divine kernel in each culture, of each ideology, and unify all of them to create a very well-balanced, all-encompassing, single divine culture. So if each nation embodies a single culture, a single divine ideal, a single characteristic, Am Yisrael puts them all together. And therefore, Am Yisrael needs each nation to be fully developed in order for Am Yisrael to fully fulfill its role. Therefore, whenever there's a war, the national character becomes more fully expressed. And therefore, Am Yisrael is able to take those ideals to a larger degree and more fully complete its own mission. The Gemara in Megillah says, whenever there's a war, you should be mitzapel the ragli Mashiach. You should look forward to Mashiach coming. And for Rav Kook, that's what this means. War makes nations fully actualize themselves. Am Yisrael then is able to take all these individual ideals, which on their own might be too extreme in a certain direction, and put them all together. If you remember back to the way we discussed about how to be tolerant or pluralistic to a degree of other ideas and other ideologies, this is exactly what Rav Kook said, how to deal with all the ideologies in the world. Go around the world. Each ideology has a divine kernel in it. Each idea has a divine kernel in it. Rabbi Nachman and the Rambam both have divine kernels in them. Obviously, there's a relative weight to different ideas. More divine kernels of truth in Rambam and Rabbi Nachman than in Tibetan culture, but you have to know Tibetan culture also. Then ultimately, you put them all together to create a single unified divine ideal. So the same thing is true in terms of national characters. Good. So Am Yisrael is supposed to embody all of the divine ideals. Next thing you have to know about Am Yisrael, is next piece in Unorot Yisrael, is relationship between the individual and the nation. So the Rav Kook says, Hayaka Shokanesid Yisrael the Yechidah, who Mishuna Mikol Yikosem Shakol Kibbutz Lumi the Yechidav. The relationship between the national entity of Am Yisrael and its individual Jews is different than the relationship between the French nation as a whole and the average French person. A French person, what does he get from
the nation state of France? He gets a way of life. He gets a culture. He gets a language. He gets a certain. He likes certain symphonies that doesn't like other symphonies. Likes certain foods that doesn't like other foods. There are ideologies there, but in terms of his essence, which for Rav Kook is his relationship with God, it doesn't filter through the lens of the French nation. That each French person has directly with God. So you get chitzonios, you get culture, you get certain ways of life from the nation state, but not the most important thing, which is your relationship with God. Skip down to the bolded part. Lochin be Yisrael. Hanashama shal yichidim nishevet mimekor chay ha'olamim ba'otzar klal. In Am Yisrael, the neshama of the individual Jew is drawn from the nation. Va'klal nutein neshama liyichidim. The individual person can't fully express, can't fully gain from God, can't fully have a neshama, if not through the national entity. If you could fathom the notion of separating yourself from Am Yisrael, you have to separate your soul from the source of its life. Because, Rav Kook says, because the way it works in Am Yisrael is that the individual person can only get their own neshama through the national entity, whatever that's supposed to mean. Therefore, how could an individual person actualize themselves? What do you need to do to tap into your own neshama, i.e. to tap into your relationship with Hashem? You have to have his dakakos, shkol yachem Yisrael, and his kaklakal. You have to aspire to become part of the nation, to think of yourself as part of the nation. V'moser tamenes namshel mibli liyot nikra mi'uma, because the essence of your soul requires of you to think of yourself as part of a nation and connect to the rest of Am Yisrael. So what picture do we have so far? We have Rav Kook, Am Yisrael, the nation state of the Jewish people, is supposed to fully embody all of the divine ideals, which all the other nations were supposed to develop a single one of them. They're all supposed to be embodied in Am Yisrael. And the individual person can only tap into those divine ideals and tap into the relationship with God if they think of themselves as part of a nation and conceptualize themselves as I'm a single Jew as part of Am Yisrael. So it makes sense for Rav Kook why living in a state of Jews, which fully embodies all the divine ideals, which Rav Kook said in the first piece, is going to be the highest happiness for a person. Because highest happiness for a person is whatever it is, connecting with God, living out these ideals. Rav Kook, a Jewish person, can't live out all of the divine ideals if you're not living in a state, in a nation state, with other Jews, which has already went around the world, was ma'aseif all the other divine ideals, now goes back to Israel and builds a state that's founded on all of these divine ideals. Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Lichtenstein don't have any of these assumptions. It's much more pashat. You're an individual Jew. You have chiyuv mitzvos. What it obviously makes a difference if you're living among other Jews or not. But the fact that you need Am Yisrael to fully tap into all the divine ideals is not there in their sources. For Kook, this is part of the ABCs of the Kabbalistic sources that he has. You know.
Is it talking about the klal, or is he referring to God as the klal?
No, I think he's referring to the individual person. The individual person has to be moster nafsho to not be separate from the nation. So I assume he's referring to physically in terms of money spent, efforts, but also in terms of how you define yourself. Rav Kook has all these pieces that like Baruch Hashem, Ashrei the person who sees himself as Shiori Knesset Israel, as just a single Jew living among the nation. And again, from halakhic sources, you get this to a degree, but you don't get it to the same extent. It's not as paramount, as significant, as crucial as it is in the sources that Rav Kook was drawing from. And this idea of living, of feeling connected to Am Yisrael, which for Rav Kook gets actualized by living in a Jewish state, not only is it important for all the I guess ephemeral or abstract divine ideals, it's actually important for Torah mitzvot as well. Look in the next piece. Rav Kook seems to say that Torah mitzvot are just another way of connecting with Am Yisrael. He says, Koma, source number 6, Koma shadam marbev Torah mitzvot. The more a person does Torah mitzvot, the more you connect with Am Yisrael. You feel connected with the Jewish people. With his higher essence. Therefore, you will feel the tsar of Bnei Yisrael when they're degraded. And you have great joy and great pleasure from envisioning the times of Mashiach. And you glorify yourself in the fact that you are part of this nation that is so connected to Hashem. So here, Torah mitzvot are this independent entity. Torah mitzvot are seen as a way to further and deepen your connection to Am Yisrael. So for Rav Kook, connecting to Am Yisrael becomes such an important, significant thing that even bereft of political sovereignty, of the importance of political sovereignty, just living among a nation of other Jews, which has a Jewish culture to it, which embodies all the divine ideals, is going to be something that becomes super significant, ends up being Osher Hachiel Yonah Shal Adam, which just doesn't exist in other modes of thought. This is not to say that Rav Kook didn't focus on the uniqueness of each individual person. I think we discussed that earlier as well. Rav Kook definitely has some of the most radically individualistic pieces in Jewish thought, but it's always going to be in the context of you're an individual, you have your own unique role, but so does every other Jew, and together you're going to build something which no individual could do, which is build up a nation, which is supposed to embody the divine ideals. And that's why nationalism is so important to the religious Zionist community because of pieces like this. The piece I had from the rabbi doesn't relate directly to this, but it's just I didn't want to have a Rav Kook and Rabbi Chaburah without noting the Rebbe's shita about Zionism. This letter gets quoted around as probably one of the most succinct formulations the rabbi has in terms of his relationship to the state of Israel. Yehuda Avner, the author of the book The Prime Minister, who met the rabbi several times on behalf of several prime ministers of Israel, said that if Zionism was measured by caring for the Jews of Israel and practically trying to do your utmost to help out the welfare, spiritual and material, of the Jews in Israel, the rabbi was the arch-Zionist. If Zionism is measured by political affiliation, the rabbi was not a Zionist at all, as we are about to see. This is a letter that the rabbi wrote to Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin was a Chabad Chassid in Russia, made Aliyah, pre-state. He ended up becoming friendly with Rav Yehuda Kook. I think he gave Shiur Merkaz HaRav. Most famous for his books, Ishim Vishitos, what's the other one? Moadim Balacha, and he was the editor of Encyclopedia Talmudit. He's a huge Talmud Chacham. So he actually was on, he advocated for the Rebbe, that Menachem Mendel Schneerson become the Rebbe during that year when it wasn't clear who the successor of the Friedrich Rebbe would be. And they kept up a correspondence. Rav Zevin became friendly with the religious Zionists and ended up, you know, to becoming himself somewhat of a religious Zionist. Here the Rebbe is somewhat reprimanding him for that approach. So the Rebbe writes to Rav Zevin. It's amazing how correct Chazal are. I'll call Tzad of Sha'al. Sh'amu call most of Korea. Add on a mitzvah you are taking away. Anybody who adds on a mitzvah takes away from other mitzvahs. I don't know what the Yiddish is. Those people who try to pass me like the Ramban and ignore the Shitas Rambam, then making Aliyah is a mitzvah. This is a religious Zionist ideology. The Bismanaze, the main nakuda of our generation is something to do with living in Eretz Yisrael, resettling the land, regaining a national consciousness. We ask Rav Dov Liori as a piece. The Ikar mitzvah in our generation is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. As Rav Tal, another Talmud of Svi Kook, what is the Ikar tafkid of our door? Redeveloping a national consciousness that was lost in the long galus. But the Rebbe says that's begeder kolamos of Gorea. Umemela, because people think all Torah mitzvahs is totally on a nationalistic consciousness and living in Eretz Israel, they want to help people violate Yisurim. Skip the brackets. And not only these people think that all of Torah mitzvahs is totally on living in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, but they actually say now is the Eschal to the Gula, Hefik Psafkin and Mufurish Brahma, which is against the Rambam. Because the Rambam doesn't mention return to Eretz Yisrael as the beginning of the Gula. Rambam talks about Mashiach on the base of and winning wars in the base of Mikdash, etc. The Rebbe says, "Dafka b'neiim Rabu Elo wrote some Machzer Shtachim." That Dafka from the religious Zionist community, now there are people who want to return the Shtachim because the Kolamos of Gorea, they were too imbalanced in one way, and now they're going back in the opposite direction. The Rebbe was a hawk in terms of returning Shtachim, not because of Zionism, not because of Yishuv Eretz Israel per se, because he felt it was dangerous. Halachan Shulchan Aruch, you can't give up a border town. The Shtachim were begat a border town. The Rebbe thought it was against Pesachin and Shulchan Aruch to give up the land. But not because of Eschalta de Geula and Talacha Geula Bechlal, as you see over here. It says, this idea of Eschalta de Geula the regaining of national consciousness is part of the geula, and we are in the geula process now, is a sakana.
There are people who are falling as victims in Israel's war. Some people were saved from the Holocaust. They saw Nisim Gleim being saved from the Holocaust, and they're still dying in Israel. The only explanation is because people are too enthusiastic with this idea of Eschatos de Geula, and therefore they're not focusing on the real work that has to be done in the last generation before Mashiach. Not beginning of the process of Mashiach, the last generation before Mashiach, which is all the work Chabad is doing in terms of Kiruv and spreading Torah mitzvot to the four corners of the globe. Lav Dafka, just in Israel. But then the Rebbe adds, V'avsha matzav nisi, batzala gedola shom yonim Yisrael, avo ein za gul megal zervi. It is miraculous. God saved millions of Jews by creating the state of Israel, but it's not part of the Geula. We can't change Judaism. It can't change our perspective because of the state of Israel. This is the last and final stage of Galus. The state of Israel engenders so many religious problems. It saved millions of Jews, creates so many religious problems. This is the last generation before Mashiach, the darkest time. And the way to bring Mashiach is not through just supporting the state, developing a nationalistic consciousness, and settling the land, but doing what Chabad does, which is Kirov. He doesn't call it Kirov, but spreading Torah to the four corners of the globe. So that's just a different perspective on the state of Israel. Positive thing, saves a million Jews, miraculous, but not a scholar to the Geula. Thank you so much.